It's 19 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line by Captain Ronald Johnson, Ferguson, Missouri. And Captain Johnson, you released a book here, a memoir titled 13 Days in Ferguson. It was just such an incredible read. I couldn't put it down. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
So take us back to that time, a little over 4 years ago now, in August of 2014, in which some of the events in Ferguson began to unfold. Remind our listeners what precipitated these 13 days. What were some of the events that we saw that were so tragic in the streets?
One of the police incidents between an officer Wilson and a young man, Michael Brown Jr., which caused protests in our community and, quite frankly, in our nation.
And for you, it sort of unfolded slowly. You saw you're participating in it in those early days, but it was sort of the slow boil. It wasn't an immediate explosion of what began to take shape. Kind of talk us through what it was in those first day or two as the events began to unfold.
Well, you know, in those first day or two, protesters and rioters began to take the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. Became to be looting. Buildings were burned. And as the days went on, the crowds began to grow and grow and just get larger and larger, which caused a large police response. And it really pitted a community against law enforcement in a way that I think our country had not seen since probably the 1960s.
And for you, early on, you were participating, but you weren't front and center with it. But you did begin to have some interactions, some with some of your colleagues on the force, maybe colleagues that were of different skin color. And it began to surface even some divides for you in the midst of what had been longtime friendships.
Yes. And I think that a lot of emotions were centered around that time. And we start seeing people express their differences and their feelings in ways that we had not had discussions. Well, friends hadn't had discussions before, and we began to see each other in a different light. And in some cases, for me, I talk about walking the middle of the road, trying to balance both sides, and both sides wanted you to take a side. And so it became a very challenging time for me personally, I think for everyone involved in a personal sense.
Well, it's an incredibly compelling book. I couldn't put it down. It's titled 13 Days in Ferguson. To our listeners out there, I highly recommend picking it up. Captain Johnson, you do just an amazing job of taking us into the ground level of how tense the interchanges might be and what we can learn from that. And so early on, again, in the process, you were there, but you weren't necessarily in charge of the situation. What began to happen? I know you were listening to some announcements and the governor came on and you found out then that you were going to take a more significant role in the ongoing protests.
Well, I think in our country, there was everybody kind of wanted a different response and kind of thought that the response was too heavy-handed for the start. And they had too much of a military look. And so there was a lot of pressure from around the country to do something different. 5 days in, the governor decided that he was going to make some changes. And I had no idea that I would be the one that would be put in charge. And went to a meeting, and that's where I found out. I found out right there in front of everyone else. And so it did become a challenge to find out and not have time to think through an exact plan how to confront the situation.
Well, and I love when you called your wife about this, and her question, her first response was, why? And it sort of took you back, as you describe it in the book, but you began to reflect on it, and that question of why became a very significant question for you in this process.
It did, and people always ask me to this day, why do I think I was chosen? And my response is, it doesn't really matter to me why I was chosen. I'm honored and humbled that I was chosen.
Well, and I think for you,
take this walk.
Yeah, and I'd love to just get into some of the decisions that you ended up making that really began to have a positive impact. But even in thinking through why and how you would lead moving forward, your father played a very significant role in your understanding of life, of faith, of how to walk these things out. So talk about the role your father had in your own life.
Well, you know, my father, when he was in his early 30s, was in a tragic car accident, which paralyzed him partially on one side of his body. But growing up, I always saw him walk with his strength. The walk that he had, he walked with it, and he just kept walking. He just kept walking through life the best that he could. And I think just that empowering time in my life, that was my motivation. And I said, well, you know, what is going to be your plan? And I decided just to walk down the streets of Ferguson and see the people that were there and see their faces and hear their voices and walk and understand and just walk in faith and knowing that everything would be okay.
When you talk about, too, that at that time there was this, it was one of the first moments of a really significant divide between people and the police, maybe since the 1960s. And at that time, the police force was showing up in riot gear for, again, understandable reasons, but it just led to this perception of the divide between. And so you made this decision, and talk our listeners through this, to do away with the riot gear and really walk among the people, you and the rest of many in the police force, and what that was to take off the gear and just become part of the people. Talk us through that.
You know, for me, it was a moment of not showing those titles and those uniforms we wear, but showing ourselves of being men and women and fathers and mothers and uncles and all those things we are before we put on any title that we have. And, you know, and for me, you know, I talk in a book about not wearing my police vest. And everybody said, why didn't you wear it? And even my wife, of course, it was a challenging time. But I wanted the people on the street to know that I am you. I'm a part of you, and I don't need protection from you, and because my faith was protecting me. My God was protecting me, and for me at that moment, that's all that I needed.
Well, and you have a powerful story then of a woman who came out of the crowd and just embraced you at that time. Speak about what kind of was going through your mind at that point, and you ended up running into her then several months later as well.
Yes, but, you know, I'm walking down the street not knowing what the reaction was going to be for me. The first time that I decided to walk down the street and how people were going to react toward that. And I'm walking down the street and this lady comes out of the crowd and gives me this big hug and says, thank you for seeing my face. And at that moment, I knew that I just needed to walk. And that was my plan. And that was a plan that God was giving me. And I about 4 or 5 months later, I was out in the community and I saw her. She walked up and said, do you remember me? And I said, no. And she said, I was a lady that came out and hugged you. And she said, my name was Angel. And what a name and what a that at that moment that the first person that would hug me and give me that strength to continue to walk was a lady by the name of Angel.
I get chills here in the story. The book is 13 Days in Ferguson. It's a memoir from Captain Ronald Johnson. And we're going to take a short break. And Captain Johnson, when we come back, I would love to get into this further then in terms of the importance of really seeing one another and not reducing each other down to issues or stereotypes and generalizations if we're going to have any hope of healing some of the racial divide in our country. So more to come with Captain Ronald Johnson next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 9 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm delighted to be joined by Captain Ronald Johnson, who has released a book, a memoir titled 13 Days in Ferguson. Captain Johnson was there and was tasked by the governor to help dissipate some of the ongoing racial tension in those events that unfolded with the shooting of Michael Brown some 4 years ago. And Captain Johnson, before the break, you were talking about seeing people and this woman who came out of the crowd named Angel, who just referenced that you saw her. And what I would love to hear from you is just the importance of really seeing one another. It's too easy, isn't it? And then to just look at the news and say, well, this is just true of everybody in every circumstance. But if we really do engage in relationship with people across these divides, some healing and hope can happen.
Oh, I agree. And, I talk about, always talk about this sense of people are saying they're colorblind and people are colorblind.
Yeah.
And people need not be colorblind. I think when we're colorblind, we're not seeing the value in each other. And I think by seeing each other, see the value and we can see the experiences of each other and it can become this shared conversation because we share more with each other and we're different.
Well, and I think, too, that we then are subject to the idea that everybody falls into a certain kind of category. And I have a text in from listening to the show who says that they're a father-in-law of a son from St. Louis and daughter who lived there and church and people in Ferguson. There was a lot of good people there, but sometimes there's people who came to just even begin to stir up some trouble, too, and maybe then end up creating the perception that everybody is coming from a certain point of view. Did you see some of that where maybe people were just coming to stir up trouble as well while you were trying to do the work of racial reconciliation?
Yes, and that's why whenever I go around the country and talk about there were protesters and there were rioters. There were protesters there that were out there in a brave manner and trying to create change for our country, just like many of the men and women that were there in law enforcement. But there were people there that weren't there to create a positive change. and we're not trying to have this shared experience, and we're trying to create that divide. And so, yes, that was a part of the issue that we were contending with. We made it through it. You know, good always topples evil.
Well, and it takes people like you and others to just sort of have the courage to begin to break down these walls, I know. And I would be curious for your suggestions for somebody like me, Captain Johnson, who lives admittedly in a fairly white demographic in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. I have done quite a bit of work with my wife and others and married by a pastor of an urban community in inner city Chicago. But even then, I felt that I was mostly unfamiliar with how people just live day in and day out in various segments of our country. Do you have suggestions for just how to get involved and cross some of these divides relationally when we're so segmented geographically?
I always say that we try to meet people that are different than us. And I think that's something that we all need to continue to do throughout our life. But I also think when we meet someone, we talk about who we are and we let them tell us who they are. And we go back and digest that. And like I said earlier, we'll find out that we are more alike than we're different. Volunteer in different communities. And I think then we begin to see where the needs are in our country and in our community. And I think when we do that, it makes better. I think as parents, we have those conversations early on with our kids, and we introduce them to the most diverse group of people and community and ideas that we can.
And I appreciate your invitation as well to recognize that we aren't colorblind, that there really are factors that play into some of these racial conversations. And so for you, where are things in Ferguson? How do they stand right now? Is there still tension in some of the community? Because I know that as you described it, it wasn't a place where a lot of tension had historically been. Where do we stand now in Ferguson?
I think Ferguson is starting to move forward, but I always talk about it's inch by inch. There hasn't been any big steps, but it took us a while to get to this point in communities like Ferguson and communities in our country. But people are having that conversation. People are beginning to talk. And even for us in our community in Ferguson, we're seeing the church reveal itself in a stronger way than it had before. And so I think that has been so important to this change in our country, in communities like Ferguson. And so we're seeing it inch by inch. But as long as we keep walking, and I always say that I'm on this new journey in my life, if we keep walking, we will be okay, because ahead is always that brighter moment for us.
Well, and as you've worked through some of these racial reconciliation conversations, I'm always mindful of the quote of Martin Luther King Jr., who says that darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. For hate multiplies hate, and violence multiplies violence, and toughness multiplies toughness in a descending spiral of destruction. So at some point along the way, I'm guessing somebody has to step in, similar to what you did, but you were just one person. We all need to step in that way and say, hey, we're not going to meet hate with hate. We're going to try to combat it with love.
I agree. And I think it's one by one. I think sometimes we do think, well, one person can make a difference. Mm. But if we all become that one person, look how strong we are, and we become much stronger.
Well, it really is the invitation.
So I believe in that.
Yeah, and invitation of the church to really shine that light in the world. Captain Johnson, where can we find your book? I assume it's through many of the normal, usual channels. Again, it's titled 13 Days in Ferguson. If our listeners want to pick up a copy, where's the best place to go?
All the Christian bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Walmart.com, and Target.com. So anywhere books are sold. And Tyndall.com, the publisher of the book.
Love it. I was really moved to tears as I read. I can't recommend it highly enough. Thanks again for taking the time to be part of Faith Radio Mornings, and just again for what you did in Ferguson so many years ago.
Well, it's been an honor, and thank you. And if anybody wants to follow me on my Facebook page, it's Lodestone, SG, LODESTONE, SG. So please follow me on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you and would respond back to you.
That's awesome. God bless, Captain Johnson. Really appreciate your time. Still time to sign up for the book giveaway with Dr. David Stevens. Head to our Facebook page for Faith Radio Mornings. And sure, appreciated that conversation with Captain Johnson. 13 Days in Ferguson is the book. Can't recommend it highly enough as a way to navigate racial conversations. Catch you tomorrow, everybody, on Faith Radio Mornings.